We all have people in our lives who annoy us, drive us crazy, and sometimes hurt us. You can picture them right now. So today, tomorrow, what are you going to do to bless those people in your life? Bless them? You'd have to be crazy, right? Bernie Diamond, and welcome again to the program as we take another look at this whole blessing thing from, well, a different perspective. Let's face it, we don't jump out of bed in the morning with the purpose of blessing the most annoying and irritating and hurtful person in our lives, do we? I mean, have you ever woken up with that intention in your heart? I didn't think so. Most people haven't. And the fact that blessing the most irritating person in our lives isn't first and foremost on our minds tells us something about ourselves. What it tells us is that we're far more concerned about ourselves than other people. Now, you might think that's a bit unfair. I mean, after all, this person drives you crazy. In most days, it seems they don't have a single redeeming feature. Why on earth would you want to bless them? I mean, why on earth would you want to do something good and kind and loving for them? They drive you around the bend. Let's just analyze that response for a moment, because, Kate, it's pretty common. In fact, it's our natural response to recoil from people who annoy us. So let's think it through. Let's put the emotion aside for a moment and just apply simple forensic logic. If we choose to bless or not bless a person based on their impact on us, then quite clearly we are more concerned about how their actions affect us than we are about how we could help them. In other words, what we're doing is putting ourselves first and them last. It may be that we're doing it to protect ourselves. It may be that we're doing it out of our notions of what they deserve and what they don't deserve. It may be that we're doing it because of an emotional response of anger or resentment or hurt or fear. Whatever the reason, the choice to withhold blessing from a person who annoys us or hurts us is based on us and not them. See, we tend to judge people by how they look, how they speak, how they smell, frankly, what their society status is, what they earn, where they live, what they drive, how they speak, how they act. We judge people based on our prejudices and their outward appearance. And when you put it that way, it's a bit scary. I'm trying to imagine here for a moment if my parents had judged me that way back when I was growing up and being a difficult teenager. I mean, looking back on it with the wisdom that comes with years, man, I must have been a difficult teenager. I was a tough nut and strong and smart and quick and very self-centred. And to be sure, my mother and father did get rather annoyed and angry with me from time to time. Fair enough, you'd have to say. It's par for the course. And sometimes, to teach me a lesson, they withdrew their blessing. That's the way it ought to be. But overall, they didn't stop blessing me. They didn't stop loving me. They didn't stop wanting the best for me. Anyone who's a parent knows what I'm talking about, as does anyone who has the maturity to look back on their childhood and see how much their parents sacrificed for them. If we know this as parents, hey, why don't we know it as wives and husbands? Why don't we know it as brothers and sisters? Why don't we know it as work colleagues and friends? I'll tell you why. Because somehow along the way, we've been programmed to look after numero uno, ourselves, me, you. Come on, it's true, isn't it? Now let's get back to our natural response in dealing with those difficult people in our lives. And let me ask you, how well is it working? I mean, when you look at the conflict in your life, the conflict in families, neighbourhoods, suburbs, villages, towns, cities, between countries even, when we look at the almost 50 wars raging across the planet today, when we look at how the poor and the marginalised are faring, how well is our current approach actually working? You'd have to conclude by any measure, not very well at all. I wonder if there's a different way, a different plan, some totally different rationale that we can apply in order to be a blessing rather than a burden, a problem solver rather than part of the problem. Try this on for size. You've heard it said Jesus, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, don't resist the evildoer. If anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give them your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. I'm not a great student of history, but there are a couple of men whose lives exemplify this very thing that Jesus was talking about. One of them is Mahatma Gandhi, famous, of course, for leading the movement that resulted in the end of British colonial rule of India, the independence of the country, which went on to spawn the largest democracy on the planet. Gandhi was the son of a highly placed government official, yet he turned his back on all that privilege to lead a movement of non-violent disobedience. No one can argue that Gandhi isn't one of the greatest national leaders in all of human history. Look at his life, and you'll see exactly what Jesus was talking about. The other one is Nelson Mandela. A man who was the leader of the anti-apartheid movement in South Africa spent 27 years in prison. And when he was finally released and he became the president of the country, instead of leading a violent purge of retribution against his former jailers and oppressors, he presided over a period of healing and reconciliation. Yeah, sure, South Africa has a way to go, but if anyone can be said to have turned the other cheek, it'd have to be Nelson Mandela. Neither of these men were particularly followers of Jesus and what he taught. That's not my point. My point is that their lives are a testament to the truth of what Jesus said about turning the other cheek and going the extra mile. See, at the end of the day, love, service, sacrifice, these are the things that change the difficult people around us. They're the only things that can change the difficult people around us. The thing that I've noticed about turning the other cheek is that it hurts. Jesus wasn't just talking figuratively there. He was talking about practical, real things that happen. Man, if someone hit me in the cheek, I don't want to punch their lights out, not turn the other one. If someone sued me for my coat, the last thing I'd want to do is offer them my cloak as well. So why is Jesus telling us this stuff? Why is he coming up with this totally counterintuitive, totally against the grain approach to dealing with people who drive us around the twist? Here's why. Because the only way you'll ever change them. When we respond to someone in love, practical love, when they know that they don't deserve it, when we do it to them again and again and again, love them when they don't deserve it, it's going to have an impact on them. Eventually, they're going to ask the question, hang on, why is this person treating me the way I don't deserve? How can they have that sort of strength? And the answer we're able to share with them is this. Well, how to listen to that Jesus guy? And it's hard some days, but actually it makes sense. Love is the only thing that'll change the world. And when we love people who don't deserve it, you know what we're telling them? We're saying, you are more important to me than how you behave. You are more important to me than the hurt that you cause me. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think there is any more powerful way of reaching a person, of communicating with them, than with practical love, which they simply don't deserve. That sort of love has a way of getting through even the hardest heart. It's about mercy and grace. When you think about it, mercy is withholding from a person the punishment that they deserve, and grace is giving them the love that they don't deserve. It turns out, this stuff really works. One of the most powerful ways that you can share the life-changing love of God through Jesus Christ is to be a blessing to others. Now, that's an easy concept to pull up next to, but actually doing that, actually being that blessing, especially in those difficult relationships, well, that can be a whole lot harder. And that's why I'd love to send you a free copy of our latest life application booklet. It's called 3 Ways to Be a Blessing, and it's full of life-changing practical Bible teaching to help you do exactly that, be a blessing rather than a burden. To request your free copy, visit ChristianityWorks.com and you'll see that free offer right there towards the top of the homepage. Click on the offer, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be winging its way to your inbox in just seconds. That web address again is ChristianityWorks.com. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm Bernie Diamond. I'll catch you again, same time tomorrow. with a different perspective.